I'll call the Board of Supervisors back to session. I'm going to make just one added provision on the agenda. We'll go ahead and do item 13A, appointments. There's some folks here from Tenet, and so this will take, this will be a fairly quick process here.
Okay, give me a sec, please.
Item 13A we'll be doing now.
Okay. All righty, 13A, this is an appointment of one member to an unscheduled vacancy on the Tenet Community Services District, and this is to establish a quorum only, and this is pursuant to Government Code Section 1780. In April, the clerk's office was, we were notified, received a resignation letter from Larry Lors, and also verbal resignation from Steve Foxworthy. That created two vacancies, and the district also had a third vacant position, so they've dropped down to two people now and need one position filled in order to create the quorum. That's all the board can do today is actually establish a quorum. After that, the remaining members then in the district can do their posting, and they do have time to make an make appointment to fill either one or two of those positions. So at the time the agenda worksheet was created, we had the clerk's office receive letters of interest in serving on the district board from Jody Page, Sig Orwig, Russell Beck, and Rick Mace. And we verified that they are all eligible to serve as active voters residing within the district. And again, just to reiterate, only one of these vacancies can be filled to create the quorum.
All right. We're pretty lucky. A lot of our boards are trying to get people to volunteer for them. And for Tenet, there's about 40 people out there, so 10% of them applied for this position. So that's pretty incredible to have that buy-in. With that, Will will be appointing one. And I know he has experience on the board and also with some of the services there. So I'll be nominating Mr. Russell Deck.
Russell, thank you.
Second.
Okay. Roll call.
All righty. Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Supervisor Cobsev?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris?
I'll be an aye also.
Thank you
for volunteering.
And what I'll do is, after I complete the oath and send it over to the district, I will also send them those other letters of interest so they can, the district can then deal with those.
All right.
Thank you much.
And then if Supervisor Haupt would like, I could do the Siskiyou Resource Conservation District at this time. I don't know if there's anybody that had time.
Not at this time. So
okay.
We can
just continue?
We can, let's wait and address it, and then I've got it in my notes. But yeah, I don't have anybody at the moment. So.
All right. I'll come back to that one.
Awesome. Thank you.
Knowing the edible foods might take a little while, there's just a staff here for that one. I'm going to go down to public hearings. And we're going to do item B first, 8B. So, opening of hearing and reading of order presentation to the record.
Yes, this is to consider an ordinance of the County of Siskiyou, State of California, and it's amending the plan development and master plan document, and this is for APN 028-010-010 and 028-020-060, Township 40N, Range 3W, Section 3, MDD&M, and this would be for the Mount Shasta Ski Park project.
Presentation of staff report.
Sure. Good morning, Supervisors. Haley Lang, Deputy Director of Planning. Before I start my presentation, I want to note we received some public comment late yesterday, so that is what has been presented to you this morning, along with some additional backup from staff related to AB 52, which I'll get into in my presentation. And so for this project, the Mount Shasta Ski Park Lift Extension Project, pretty large project, so I created a presentation for you all today, so that's also contained in the very large staff report package you guys had to look at over the weekend, I'm sure. Next slide, please. So this project, it is for a ski lift extension, and so within planning, this is a multi-part process, and so there's a zone change that needs to occur, and then there was a use permit that was approved at the Planning Commission during the April 20th meeting. And so the recommendation before you all today is to approve the zone change and then also to approve the mitigated negative declaration, the CEQA document, which is associated with the use permit planning process. Next slide. Project summary. So as I mentioned, there's a zone change and use permit. Per our county code, anytime there's a project within the plant development zone and it is being amended, altered, modified, you have to go through the zone change process. So that's why we're here today. And so through that, that is with an amended plan development and master plan. Ski Park has a plan development master plan, which kind of outlines the uses and the physical facilities occurring within the ski park. And so there were some changes to that, and so you will see that in the amended plan development master plan in your staff report package. Also, the inclusion of the backcountry program is noted in the amendment. Additionally, there is the removal of development plans for Section 10. In the prior master plan, there was language related to the ski park eventually purchasing Section 10 in order to develop Section 3. Those development plans are no longer proposed or will happen, and so that was removed in the amendment. And then we also just removed inconsistent language and removed facilities and uses that are no longer planned or proposed. The use permit, that was for the construction of the ski lift, approximately 4,300 feet in length. This will lift skiers from 6,900 feet to about 7,500 feet. And so with that, there is a CEQA document that's been prepared. So CEQA, California Environmental Quality Act, and with that, we consultant prepared a subsequent mitigated negative declaration. And so usually what happens with CEQA when we analyze projects, with CEQA, an initial study is prepared, and so that is the Appendix G guidelines within CEQA, where you analyze about 20 environmental areas all the way from aesthetics down to wildlife to determine whether or not there is potentially significant impacts. If there are and you're able to mitigate them through mitigation measures, incorporating them into the project, a mitigated negative declaration can be prepared. And so that is what we as the lead agency decided to do. And so in the next few slides, I'm going to highlight the CEQA document along with the mitigation measures for the environmental areas. Next slide. These environmental areas you see up here on the screen, through the CEQA analysis, it was identified that there were either incorporated no impact or less than significant environmental impact. So I'm not going to highlight those today, just the ones with the incorporated mitigation measures. Next slide. Aesthetics. So within CEQA, we are required to, analyze the environmental areas. And so there's a number of questions we have to answer when we're going through this process. And so I've highlighted those on the screen, and that's how I'll discuss the mitigation measures today. So for aesthetics, does the project create temporary visual impacts caused by construction activities? That was initially identified as potentially significant, but then reduced to less than significant with the incorporation of mitigation measure aesthetic one, which includes that project construction equipment and activities shall not be staged at or reach an elevation higher than the rigid grade ute, ensuring that the cultural sites of Panther Meadows and Mount Shasta will be protected from temporary visual impacts. And the second question, does the project have a substantial adverse effect on a scenic vista? Initially noted as potentially significant, then reduced to less than significant with the incorporation of aesthetic two mitigation measure, which describes that the lift facility shall be constructed so as not to reach an elevation higher than the rigid grade ute, ensuring that the cultural sites of Panther Meadows and Mount Shasta will be protected from visual impacts. Next slide. Biological resources. So first question, does this project create substantial adverse effect either directly or through habitat modification or any species identified as candidate, sensitive, or special status in local, regional plans, regulations, or identified with California Department of Fish and Wildlife? This was noted as potentially significant and then reduced to less than significant with the incorporation of two mitigation measures. Mitigation Measure Bio 1 includes the requirement of implementing a pre-constructed nesting bird survey, and Mitigation Measure Bio 2 includes the requirement of implementing timber harvest plan surveys and protection buffers for sensitive wildlife species. The second question right here, does the project interfere substantially with the movement of any native, resident, or migratory fish and wildlife species, or with established native, resident, or migratory wildlife corridors, or impede the use of native wildlife nursery sites noted as potentially significant, decreased to less than significant with the incorporation of Mitigation Measure Bio 1 and Bio 2, and additionally Bio 3, which includes the requirement of designated wildlife protection area and botany rare plant area as barred from mechanical entry. And the last one right here, question 3, is there any conflict, does the project impose any conflict with local policies or ordinances protecting biological resources? So with that noted as potentially significant, but reduced to less than significant with the incorporation of Mitigation Measure Bio 3. Cultural resources, so does the project cause a substantial adverse change in the significance of a historical resource? With that noted as potentially significant, decreased to less significant, lots of significance today, with the incorporation mitigation measure cultural one, which is to implement the mitigation measure aesthetic one and two. Next slide. Geology and soils, does the project result in substantial soil erosion or the loss of topsoil? Noted as potentially significant, decreased to less than significant with the incorporation of mitigation measure GO1, which includes the requirement for the ski park to adopt and update an erosion sedimentation control plan that addresses erosion risk. Next slide. Hydrology and water quality. So, does the project substantially alter existing drainage? Does it result in substantial on and off-site erosion? Noted as potentially significant and reduced to less than significant with the implementation of mitigation measure geology one, which I mentioned in the previous slide with the sedimentation and erosion control plan. Next slide. Land use planning. Does the project cause a significant environmental impact due to conflict with any land use plan, policy, or regulation adopted for the purpose of avoiding or mitigating environmental effects? Similar to the previous environmental areas, noted as potentially significant, reduced to less than significant with the implementation of mitigation measure land one, which is the same as implementation measure geology one. Next slide. Noise. So does the project generate a substantial temporary or permanent increase in ambient noise levels in the vicinity of the project in excess in standards established in the local general plan or noise ordinance or other applicable policies? Noted as potentially significant, decreased to less than significant with mitigation measure noise one, which includes the requirement to schedule helicopter construction activities so as not to overlap with tribal cultural ceremonies at Panther Meadows. Next slide. So environmental area recreation, does the project include recreational facilities or require the construction or expansion of recreational facilities which might have an adverse physical effect on the environment? Noted as potentially significant, reduced to less than significant with the implementation mitigation measure recreation one, which is to implement the mitigation measures that have been identified in the initial study. Next slide. Okay, so transportation, does the project substantially increase hazards due to a design feature or incompatible uses? This was noted as potentially significant and reduced to less than significant with the implementation of measure transportation one, which requires an overflow turnaround to be constructed near State Route 89 at the intersection to prevent vehicles from backing up on State Route 89. And also there was a condition of approval added within the Planning Commission staff report for the ski park to conduct an operational analysis in order to determine if there's any design features that need to be implemented at the park. Next slide. tribal cultural resources. So does the project listed or eligible for listing in the California Register of Historical Resources or in a local register of other resources as defined in the Public Resources Code? Noted as potentially significant and reduced to less than significant with the mitigation measure tribal one, which is to implement the mitigation measures aesthetic one and aesthetic two. Next slide. Public comments. So we received a lot of public comments for this project, overwhelmingly supporting the project. I believe it's over 800 public comments have been submitted in support of the project. And so I've highlighted the general summary of kind of what I looked at with the public comments. And so folks in support noted that this project would create a more accessible terrain and better recreation. There would be increased tourism, local commerce benefits. It would enhance the resort, increase quality of life. This project would allow for the ski park to compete with other larger resorts. There would be an increase in jobs with the construction of the lift and also the maintenance and operation of the lift. This project is important to the ski park's sustainability, and it would increase revenue and tax dollars. Next slide. Public comments. Opposition and concerns. We received a few of those, I think, to date, about 10 in opposition. So folks have concerns about aesthetics, how that would impact Panther Meadows and Great Butte. The overuse of water for snowmaking. There's no snowmaking that's proposed with the project. Another concern is spiritual significance of Mount Shasta to the local tribes. A concern about noise and light pollution, wildlife concerns, deforestation, and unpermitted lodging. Agency comments. So I wanted to take a minute right here to discuss the comments that we received late yesterday that is in the packet for you all related to AB 52. And so we had some concerns from some of the tribal agencies on whether or not we did the due process with AB 52, and so I just kind of want to highlight what AB 52 is. So anytime we receive a project and it's determined that a CEQA will be needed to be done, so an MND or an EIR, and after that project is deemed complete, we have 14 days to reach out to the tribal agencies to ask for consultation if they want to be a part of the consultation project of the process. And the tribes have 30 days to let us know if they want additional consult and then to be, integrated into the CEQA process. And so usually how that works is we reach out to the National Heritage Commission through the state. We received a formal list, which is contained in the supplemental information for you all. We received that list, and then we reach out via letter to the tribes asking them for, should they want to be involved in consult. And we send it by certified mail to ensure that they have received the letters. And so, a few comments from Woodman Wintu and Mount Shasta Bio Regional Ecology Center had some concerns on whether or not AB 52 occurred, and I just wanted to publicly make it known that it did. And so all of that information is contained in your packet if you wanted to take a look. And so additional agency comments. We received a comment letter from Caltrans. They are supportive of the project. But potentially, through the construction of Great Butte, there would maybe be an increase in capacity, of drivers and travelers and things like that. So should the ski park want to increase their baseline capacity, they recommended that an operational analysis be conducted to determine if there would be any transportation improvements that would need to be had, occurring within the ski park. And so that's noted in the agency comments in your staff report package. Cal Fish and Wildlife, they're supportive of the project and appreciative of mitigation measures related to nesting and migratory birds. They did also submit an additional comment letter yesterday, which is contained in the supplemental information. And so I'll just highlight a few of their comments. They had concerns about the way the project description was written for mitigation measure Bio2. We referenced species-specific mitigation because there's previous timber harvest plans, also CEQA documents that have been created for the ski park, and so we referenced that mitigation measure, and they would want that to be spelled out a little bit more. They requested that maps be included in the MND about the related to the wildlife mitigation area and Botany Rare Plant area. They are included. There's a biological assessment section within the CEQA document, so those maps are noted in there. And let's see, they also requested that the sedimentation erosion control plan be completed and included in the MND for public review. This is something that has already been developed. It's just basically going to be updated pertinent to this project. I believe it was updated related to the past THP processes, so there was a public process with that plan. And we also included that the plan be complete as a condition of approval prior to the construction of this project. And so those are the additional comments from Cal Fish and Wildlife. I wanted to touch up on some additional comments from Mount Shasta Bioregional Ecology Center. As I mentioned, they had some concerns related to tribal notification. If we reached out to the Pitt River Tribe, we did, and you can see that within the certified mail packet. They requested, you know, ongoing and continuous coordination with the Forest Service since, you know, their property, you know, is adjacent to the ski park. They also recommended that interpretive signing be added into the project related to Panther Meadows and the cultural impacts related to Panther Meadows, you know, near Grey Butte. They also recommended that there be a light analysis to analyze the current lighting within the ski park. So that language is contained in their staff report, or sorry, in their comment letter. And so I just wanted to highlight those because I'm sure you all weren't allowed to read the letters within 2 seconds. So that's it for agency comments. Next slide. And that concludes my presentation. I'm happy to answer any questions or comments. We do have GeoServe here. They prepared the environmental document for us, so if you have technical questions related to that. We also have representatives from the ski park this morning as well.
Thank you. I'll just go down the steps, even though you've already addressed them, just to, to confirm. Presentation, any correspondence that she's done?
Yes, she's mentioned some, but then the clerk's office received an email from Ann Marsh from Aetna, and then also looks like Johnny Mayberry. It doesn't say where that person's from, but in support of the plan. And then I think there were some additional ones in here that weren't agency comments. I don't know who specifically those were all from. You hit on the comments from the agencies, but I see Ms. Marsh's
email.
There
was one comment letter from Ms. Marsh. She had a concern of how we wrote the AB 52 letter. The way we addressed it is to the contact person that is identified on the register. She had a concern that we did not note the tribe which they are from in the letter that is addressed to them.
And then it looks like you have something from the Winnem and Wintu tribe.
Winnem and Wintu, yeah, they voiced concerns about AB 52. They were notified, but we sent it to the chair, Chair Sisk, and so Mark Miyoshi, he requested that he wanted to be a part of the consultation process. In my understanding, if you know a tribal agency wants a different contact person, I think they have to go through the process with the Heritage Commission to get that updated. We can't necessarily do that, but that is something he noted in his letter. And then also just snowmaking and hydrology concerns, but no snowmaking is occurring on the project. And so that was his additional comment in his letter.
And it appears the rest of them, there are some just generic comments in favor,
mm-hmm.
and maybe a couple others.
Yeah, I think there was like 15 additional generic comments from the public just in support of the project.
Okay.
All right. Presentation or reports by other county departments or public agencies, which I believe you've done. All right.
Yep.
Proponents, arguments, and or evidence?
Is there anything?
Showing none online.
None online. Opponents, arguments?
I apologize to the chair. We do have one online.
You do? Okay. Proponents, arguments, and their evidence.
Battery 80%.
Nick Jocelyn, are you there?
Nick Jocelyn from Mount Shasta, speaking for the Mount Shasta Bioregional Ecology Center. I just wanted to clarify that
Our comments were in support of the project with the given mitigation measures. We had some concerns that we were seeking clarification about, and we believe that you addressed our concerns, and we appreciate that. We also would like to add that we believe the Mount Shasta Ski Park is a good steward and has largely followed the plans that were drafted during lengthy collaborative meetings in the 90s that involved the tribes, the Ecology Center, and the owners at the time. And we actually have to applaud the Mount Shasta Ski Park for some of their efforts that are going above and beyond the requirements and that will add and increase the fire resiliency of the area and avoid more road building by Pacific Power to service the communication towers that are on Grayview. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jocelyn. I see another number up there, too. I just can't read the numbers.
Caller ending in 2131, it's your turn to speak.
Yes, Ann Marsh, 4648 Pineville Drive, Eskew, California. I made the comment about AB 52, the tribe consultation, and I would like to add that you received comment letters from the Hoopa tribe. They were not notified in consultation. Perhaps they haven't asked for that yet, and perhaps the county could be proactive and reach out to them and ask them if they would like consultation. The other thing is, AB 52 requires that in your letter to the tribes that you note anything of significance to the tribe in that letter. And I see absolutely nothing about the proximity to Panther Meadows or anything about the significance of Mount Shasta in your letters. They're just very, this is going to happen, and here it is, and it was December the 7th, and perhaps people really didn't get those letters and make the comments they would have liked to have made. AB 52 is fairly new, maybe 5 years old, and perhaps the letters in the future to the tribes could contain at least the tribe name as well as the chairperson. As we all know, chair people tend to change from time to time, and while you're relying on something from a governmental agency, that may not always be perfect. I have no opposition to the project itself. I do have opposition to how your inner processes and policies are working. Thank you for hearing my comments.
Thank you, Ms. Marsh. Any opponents' arguments and or evidence?
Showing none online.
Any public comment?
Showing none online.
Right.
Well, if you want to,
if you'd like to, feel free to. Absolutely.
Sure.
I've never told anybody not to, so. Feel free to.
Jim Mullins, M-U-L-L-I-N-S, General Manager of the Mount Shasta Ski Park. I want to thank you all for allowing us to be here today. It's been a long time coming. This has been a hot topic of South County since I've been involved with the ski park since 2005 and way before that. The public has known we've had this additional property. It is private property. There was a PD, a plan development, done in 1997 that would show all perspectives of this property. It just didn't have the full perspectives of the ski lift. And with that being said, I triggered the CEQA. So this, we went through the process. We did our due diligence. We spent over a year and a half working on this project to get to this point. A huge commitment by the ownership and by Mr. Coots going forward. And I'm just happy to be part of this. This is a long, it's the number one requested thing from all our surveys to our guests. We can send out surveys to every, which we do quite a bit, and we have over a 25,000 person following on our social media, and we do get quite a response. And overwhelmingly, the number one thing they always say is, when are we going on Great Butte? When are we going on Great Butte? Well, the current ownership has made that commitment to invest in the park, invest in Siskiyou County, invest in South Siskiyou County and all the communities around us. Me being from McLeod, I love being part of a little ski town. It's going to be great. Most of all, my constituents I've talked to, in fact, I haven't had any negativity there at all. So with that being said, we're here to answer any questions you might have on the project, and we're just looking for your approval. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mullins. Any other public comments? None online?
Sure, none online.
All right. Any rebuttals by proponents or opponents?
Showing none online.
I will not close the hearing since this is the first reading.
Correct.
And discussion by board members or entertain a motion. Yes.
Just have one question. In the letter from Child Fish and Wildlife, they reference a timber harvest plan. Has that been completed and approved process, or is that pending the sequel?
Yes, there's two that's been completed and approved and been through the process.
Okay. That's all.
I'll entertain a motion.
I would make the recommended motion there with a couple comments.
Oh, okay.
You know, one of the things, this is an ongoing project. It's, you know, pretty significant to South Campbell, quite honestly. I'm glad that they did all the things and mitigation measures are in place. I think you addressed lighting. There's going to be no lighting up there. They're not using the water for snow. We, you know, I looked at the, you know, we did contact. I know who the chairperson is for the Winnemo went to. That hasn't changed. Same thing with the Creek Tribe. You know who the chairman is. That person hasn't changed. You know, I think we, yes, that AB is new, for relatively speaking. But we go bend over backwards to try to make sure we're adhering to the proper procedures, if you will. So having said that, I'm confident this thing's passing muster, so I'll make the recommended motion.
With that, and not repeating things, I'll second the motion.
And I just have a quick question. Do we know when we want the second reading on this?
May 17th.
Tomorrow. The 17th?
Okay,
thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
That will do.
Okay, Supervisor Haupt?
I'm an aye, and I can attest that the names are correct on the Shasta side and for the Coates Valley Indian Reservation as well.
Thank you.
Supervisor Kopstaff?
I'm an aye, and congratulations to the ski park on the diligence and to the work that you did for this project. It's one of the great assets to Siskiyou County overall, and can't congratulate you enough on this.
Okay. Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes, and I would just add that they went above and beyond reaching out to the local community.
Okay. Supervisor Okra?
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris?
I'll be an aye also.
Oh, there was one mention. Mr. Carroll, there was something that needed to be corrected on one of the pages. Haley, do you remember what that was? It was an adopted date or an approved date?
Right. I discussed that with Ms. Lang, and the exhibit for the ordinance is the master plan, and there's a date upon it that says approval date, and we will. Should be the month of, which is going to be May, of the ordinance when it's approved for the second reading.
And that'll be an attachment of exhibit to the ordinance when it's finalized on the 17th, correct?
Yes.
Thank you.
Right. Nothing has to be done today to, it won't delay it, you know, on the 17th is, I guess, where I'm headed. Okay.
Correct.
Yeah. Correct.